Good to be here this morning. We want to present something to you today that I hope will be beneficial and something you can use in your life. I know it's going to seem like it's mainly for the men, but I think there's a place for the ladies too. We're going to talk a little bit today about public prayer. I know in my life, especially here at church, one of the most difficult things for me to do is lead the prayer. I really appreciate those guys that can just seem like they can do that at the drop of a hat. And to me, I thought, why is it so difficult for me? Shouldn't it be really easy to lead a prayer? Well, that word lead is probably my problem. I don't have an idea particularly what's on your mind and what you'd like to pray about. I know what's on my mind, what I like to pray about. As I study in this lesson and going through several verses, and I decided, you know what, this is a big subject, and I need to be really careful because it's a real personal subject. What happens when you get those kind of things is it gets kind of, oh, touchy, sticky kind of. You want to be sure that you're not putting a lot of your own thoughts in those things, because it's prayer, folks. It's a really personal thing. If we went down the street here, we'd see people and we'd say, you know what, you need to consider what you're doing in your worship, or you need to consider what you're doing as far as baptism goes. And they might say, well, I've never really thought of that. But my dad did it this way and my granddad did it this way. And we'll say, stop. We need to, like the Bible says, we need to get those thoughts out of our head that's how so-and-so did it, so that's how we need to do it. I think back when I was growing up, when we had singing schools, and Brother Spence, some of y'all probably remember him, he'd drag all the young men up and he'd teach us to lead songs. So I learned how to lead a song. I know it's hard for you to understand that or see that now, but I learned at the time. We have teaching instruction so that we learn how to kind of organize a lesson, to have a beginning and a meaty part and a conclusion and things like that. I don't remember anybody ever teaching me to lead a prayer. So what I get is that I learned by hearing other people lead a prayer. And I guess for the most part, that's probably how we all learned, or maybe that's even how the people that we learned from learned. Well, the truth is the Bible kind of gives us instruction on how to do that. And I asked Brandon probably a year ago or something, why don't you give a lesson on leading prayer and how to do that? So I'd feel better about it. That way I could think about it, get my mind wrapped around it. You know, if I'm going to lead prayer, this is how God says that the Bible says do it this way. Then I can do that. You know, when I went to college, about the first night there, so I was at Wayland, and they had a big kind of a group, and the guy got up there and prayed, and it was not like anything I'd ever heard before. He used different words. And I realize now, I pray a whole lot like my dad prays. I use some of the same phrases and things, and so I guess I'll learn by that. I realize now that those people that I was listening to there in college, they learned from some other example. I'm not going to pick on Zane, but I'll mention Zane, because he will say, Dear Lord, when he wrote words of prayer. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't hear that. I heard our Father in heaven. Well, you know, now it's hard for me to get away from our Father in heaven because I heard that. So I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying how we're influenced by the world, by the people we grow up with, by the people we sit with. So today, let's just kind of get into the Bible, not be too critical of each other, and try to get an understanding. Leading public prayer. See, leading or directing is probably the best way we can describe what we're doing, but I don't think they're good words, okay? I don't think that's what the Bible is talking about at all when it talks about a prayer worded in public, that we're necessarily leading someone's thoughts. I'll try to explain that further. To understand what we're going to talk about today, we need to understand what prayer is. Romans 10 and verse 1 says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So prayer is a communication of your heart's desire. It's an intimate expression to God, so it's something that's really personal. Matthew 6, starting there in verse 9, says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." This is Jesus. This is a command, an example. This is how you do this. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." See, this is a really concise, kind of simple thing. So the prayer that we're looking at today that would be worded in public is a concise, fairly simple, direct prayer. Jesus says, pray like this. Pray like this. Okay? So prayer is not wordy or complicated. If you would turn to 1 John, we'll start there in chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So you say, well, what does that have to do with prayer? Well, prayer reflects our relationship with God. It's really important that we have a knowledge, an understanding, a realization of this fact as we pray. We have that relationship. So prayer reflects that relationship. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So see, prayer is an outpouring of your heart to God with a knowledge that he is able and willing to give us what we need, everything we need. You know what? Can you imagine prayer with a knowledge that God wasn't listening? Or he didn't care? Or even if he did listen and he did care, he couldn't? The knowledge that God can is important when we pray. See, that's what prayer is. So knowing what prayer is gives us an understanding or an idea of what prayer is not. See, prayer is not a teaching opportunity. I've got to say that a lot of times I've failed in leading prayers. You think, well, there's somebody here that needs to hear this, or maybe I can encourage somebody this way through my prayer or through leading this prayer. But prayer is not a sermon either, and it's not complicated. Jesus said, pray like this. I find it kind of ironic there in Matthew chapter 6. As we read through there, you get to verse 14, which is after the prayer. Then Jesus says, I'm going to teach you about forgiveness. So we have a prayer that he mentions, forgive us. And then we end the prayer. Now he teaches. Okay? He says, because you're going to be forgiven like you forgive. So he didn't take the opportunity in the prayer to teach at all. Pray like this. Teaching is a different matter. Okay? Jesus said, as you forgive, you're going to be forgiven after the prayer. So I think it's important we keep these things in mind. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, starting there, it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified." This, to me, was kind of the whole idea of leading, wording a public prayer. It's really difficult for me to wrap my mind around these things, so I'll just tell you that I draw a few conclusions. If all else fails, at least I hope that you'll think about these things. Because I didn't have an opportunity to learn about these that I remember. No one taught me, so at least now let's study about these things. See, so leading a prayer is merely a prayer that's being offered in the hearing of others. See, we need to give due consideration to that fact that other people are hearing this prayer and who they are. The Bible talks about the unlearned needs to be able to say, hey, I understand that. I agree with it. Amen. So as we word a prayer in public, ladies, you'll be asked from time to time to word a prayer. You need to consider those in the hearing. Keep it simple, because those that hear it need to understand it. It's pretty easy for us who are more mature, more knowledgeable maybe in the Scriptures, to word a prayer that might get very confusing to someone who's a novice, let's say, or unlearned, as the Bible calls them. The unlearned must be considered. So, in a group, and I'm just going to, here's an example. I asked Keenan this morning, I said, hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed mean? 90% of the people here may say, I know exactly what hallowed means. I'm not going to stand up here and define it, because to be truthful, I got an idea, but I'm not positive. So if I say that, I've heard it a lot. I think it sounds good. It sounds really reverent. Does everybody understand? Can they all say amen? One of the funniest things, I remember Truman Till mentioned this actually. He said, go with us to our humble places of abode. What's a humble place of abode? Well, some of you know. Truman said, why don't you just say go home with us? That makes sense to me. If you want everybody to understand, we need to speak in a language and use words that people understand. Maybe that's just a personal thing for me, but at least we're thinking about it. So let's consider those in the hearing. Let's consider the Lord's Prayer. The one that we read, it was absolutely worded for those within the hearing of that prayer. It was general enough that all could understand it and agree and say amen. It acknowledges God and His power. Like we said, that's very important. To acknowledge that God has the power to answer prayer, that He has the power to grant you those requests. It conveys our needs without being selfish. That's, for me, a very difficult thing. You like to think you can take self out of things. You know, you pray that you have a good job. And at the same time, you're thinking the stuff you can buy. Can you pray that prayer that you have a good, rewarding job just so that the kingdom can be furthered? That you can use your finances in that way? It's very difficult to pray a selfless prayer. In a big group, I think it's a consideration we really need to make. And remember, Jesus said, pray this way. I think we need to consider that it's an outpouring of our heart. But not only if we're wording a prayer in a public situation, we're wording a prayer that's the outpouring of their heart as well. Prayer is an intimate thing. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26 says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So prayer in the worship service must be edifying. It must be something that builds you up. To be built up, you need to understand. Prayer must be understood, I think, and heartfelt. I guess I ran short of R's. Heartfelt by those in the hearing in order for them to be edified. Prayer in the worship is not a time for a mini sermon or exhibition of one's Bible knowledge. I'm not saying you don't have knowledge. We have a knowledge of how to do things. It's important that we consider that Jesus said, pray this way. Now, there's personal suggestions that I want to make, and I'll tell you it's just that. It's a personal thing. I hope that you have some personal things that you think, you know what? When I'm praying in public, it would be better if I did this. Use words that all understand. There's a generation gap too. I understand that. There's cultural differences. There's things that can be worded in different ways. If possible, consider that so that all can understand. Try to keep it within a common knowledge of all within the hearing. You know, if you pray very specific things in a public prayer, it's really easy to exclude a lot of the group. If you read the Lord's Prayer there, it's fairly general so that everyone can be involved. And consider the examples of that. You know, I think about the tradition in my life, the things that I might say in a prayer. I think it's kind of like muscle memory. You know, whenever I was golfing, I could not think about things and do, I might still hit the ball. Because I had muscle memory. Zane might shoot a three that way, or you still do things the same way. You get under pressure, and some of those habits just kick in. One of the most nervous times for me in a worship service is to lead the prayer. And all of a sudden, those old tradition things, the things that I'm comfortable saying, they just come right out of your mouth. You think, did I just pray that I was forgiven of my sins when we just prayed forgiveness of sins and just prayed for forgiveness? Because I say that and I'm comfortable with that, and it just comes out. I'm not saying it's bad to pray for forgiveness of sins. I'm just saying that when you think about my influences, it's kind of scary how much tradition sneaks in there. Remember that the others within the hearing of your prayer will be impacted by that. Pray in private for the things that you need to be very specific for. And finally, probably the most important thing is don't treat a prayer in the worship service or a prayer in public as your only opportunity to pray. I don't have to get everything prayed for right now so that it's confusing and big and long and hard to deal with. Remember, we're going to pray a lot on our own. You know, when I'm driving down the road, I pray a lot different prayer than I do sitting in here with that mic in my mouth. I pray a lot of little prayers. When things come up, I pray. When I pray in the morning, I pray about things to get me through the day. When I pray in the evening, I pray about things to get me through the night. There's timely things that we need to pray about. And I just wanted to mention all that to you today. I hope that something we've said has been beneficial to you. That's all I have. Remember that some of these things are merely my thoughts. Hopefully some of the scriptures we've read and drawn your attention to will help you as well.